Well, I learned something new today. Green had hair at one time. So I thought he always looked like Charlie Brown. The sweet, you know, loving Charlie Brown.
I say.
Well, boy, it's hot in here. I don't know why, but it is really warm. I didn't hear, I just want to make this point because it's really clear, an announcement. Next Sunday, we're having a potluck. Dean announced that, correct? And it is a potluck, not a turkey potluck. Okay. I think you guys are following me there. Which means we're not going to be cooking a lot of turkey here and serving mashed potatoes and gravy. Those are fine with me if you want to bring them. But it's a main dish and either a dessert or salad. Heavy on the dessert. So, anyway, pumpkin pie is still acceptable even though it's not a Thanksgiving turkey thing. We can still do pumpkin pie. Never get out of that. So, anyway, visit your local Costco. They don't pay me to do these commercials for them, so in a way of an announcement too, next week we are going to be starting, we're going to have, give you an opportunity to share a word of thanksgiving. It's good for me to stand up here and tell you what to be thankful for, but I think it's even more powerful if you folks will stand up and say what you are thankful for. So starting next week, be thinking this week. So we'll give you 2 weeks to do that. Next week and then the Thanksgiving weekend. So 2 weeks to share, but I wouldn't put it off. We just would like to have you. Doesn't have to be long. You don't have to write something down, or if you need to write something down, that's fine. But we just would like you to share. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? I get so much opportunity to say that, you know what I mean? Because I'm up here and I have the limelight and I have the platform and I have the microphone. And so, you know, I get to share with you. You know, I'm thankful for you, my church. You know, I'm really, you guys are just so loving and kind to me. I just, it's hard to take sometimes that you guys are so nice to us. You know, I'm thankful for my wife and my family. And you know, so I share that from time to time, and actually I probably should share that because I say enough things about my wife that maybe you would think that maybe I'm not thankful for her when she's reminding me of things, but I really am. I really am, because between the two of us, we have a mind. Otherwise, it's pretty scary. So be thinking, and I want to give you a mass warning. And I know Steve is going to be preaching on the 22nd, but he'll give you opportunity to share because I'll tell him to. So, because that is just God's people sharing Thanksgiving. It's so important. We don't do that enough. And so I'm going to continue on this Sunday with the season of thanks. And I found a really a neat passage of scripture this week that we're going to look at. And it is a psalm of thanksgiving to the Lord. And the reason that we're going to look at it is because it really combines the idea of thanksgiving with what the men have been studying in Bible study. And the ladies studied this earlier last year, and Steve has just started a group on Thursday nights to study the names of God. Now, so this is going to kind of be a Thanksgiving service, but it's also going to be kind of a educational service too, because one of the things that since I started this study on the names of God, and I notice the different names that are used in the Bible, and in the context that they're used in, it makes it so much more powerful for me. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't been in that study, guys, you have an opportunity. Steve has only done week one. So please join in. My group is just about done. So you probably wouldn't want to join my group. Ladies, if you'd like to do it again, do it again. If you want to just borrow the tapes and the books, we're glad to, because just our God is so large, so immense. There's so many facets to our God that one name doesn't cut it. One name doesn't. You know, I have one name. It's Richard. And that pretty well sums up who I am. I'm Richard. Of course, I've lost that name now. My name is Pastor. Or Pastor Rich, you know. But, you know, I just kind of like, that pretty well says it all. That's who I am. But, you know, when it comes to God, one name does not describe who God is. And so, when God inspired the Bible, and when the writers wrote the Bible under God's inspiration, they put in these different names for God that talked about his different attributes. And so today, we're going to look at a psalm that is giving thanks to God for who he is. But in the first three verses of this psalm, there are three different names used for God. Now, our English translations of the Bible can only go so far. And so, unless you really kind of know the tells and know, you don't know what how to figure out what name is which, but when we're done this morning, you're going to know three different names for God and how to determine when they're being used in the Bible. But the thing is, it's cool about this, because the verse, you know, the passage we're going to look at is Psalm 136. Psalm 136 is a passage we're going to look at. And I'm going to read you the first three verses, and then we're going to go back and look at each verse and look at each name that is used for God here. Well, first of all, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of Lord of Lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now you say, it sounds repetitive to me. And it does sound repetitive, because isn't the psalmist just simply saying the same thing three different times? He's really not. If you understand the names that he is using for God here, he is giving thanks to God for three different things in here. And we're going to look at that. First of all, chapter 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Okay, the word Lord there, and I want you to look in your Bibles, or if you, because I, is it, can you put it back on the screen, Adam? Adam, you're not Adam, you're David. Put that back on the screen, I want to see. Okay, it's there. See that the word Lord is capitalized. All four letters, capitalized. Okay, you need to remember that, because we're going to look at another time where they use the word Lord, and it's not. It's just a capital L and a little O-R-D. So whenever you see the word Lord in your Bible, and it's all caps like that, or else it'll be in all caps anyway. Might not look quite like that, it'd be in all caps. We're talking about the Lord Jehovah. The Lord Jehovah. And this is the Jewish national name for God. This is what they would call him. It's used 6,000 to 7,000 times in the Old Testament. Of course, they would say Yahweh. We would say Jehovah. Jehovah is the way we would come. And actually, this is... this name comes to us through Moses, really. It's used early in the Bible. In fact, if we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, clear back in the creation story, we read, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord, all capital letters, Lord God, made earth and heaven. So we see that name going clear back to putting it into the text of Genesis. But really, when that word comes into the Hebrew nation is in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And this is the burning bush thing, you know, where Moses is out in the wilderness. He's been out there for 40 years, tending sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. And he's out working on the sheep, and he sees something that is quite remarkable. It's a bush that's on fire. Now, we've all seen bushes on fire before, but the thing that was unique about this bush that was on fire is it wasn't being burned up. It was just on fire. And the leaves didn't turn black, and I don't even know if there was any smoke to it or what. I really don't have any idea. But he comes to this burning bush, and God speaks to him through the burning bush experience. And basically, again, you know the story, he's calling Moses to go back to Egypt, because Moses had fled Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian. And so he had fled Egypt. He was now in the wilderness. And the Lord says, I am sending you back to Egypt to free my people, to lead them out of Egypt, to lead them out of captivity. Moses is not so sure about all this stuff that's going on. So he kind of questions God. And he goes, well, I know they're going to want to know who sent me. You know, can I tell them a burning bush sent me? You know, they would lock him up if he told them that a burning bush sent him to them. And they would not listen. But this is how God answered in verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. I am. Now, the name that God gave to Moses was, it's four consonants, five or four, Steve, you just went through it, four. There's no vowels in it, and so it can't be pronounced. And so the Jews put vowels to it, so it could be pronounced, and that's Yahweh, and that's their national name for God. And really what the Yahweh meant for the Jews was that he was a God who was a relational God. He wanted to be their God. He wanted to have contact with them. He cared about them. He loved them. He was going to meet their needs. He wasn't a God who was just off in the universe somewhere watching things just kind of spin around. But he was a God who wanted to be directly involved in their lives. And he was going to lead them out of captivity. He was going to lead them out of the land of Egypt. And so that is the name Jehovah, or Yahweh if you're Jewish, but Jehovah if you're speaking English. And it's the relational name for God. Now there's a lot more to that I can't cover today. But it's basically the relational name. God wants to have a relation with his people. He wants to be intimate with his people. Now, God wants me to pray to him, to talk to him. God wants me to read his word so that I can understand him, because God wants to have that relationship. And It is so important that we have that relationship with God, because He desires it. He wants it. He's not a God who is aloof. He's not a God that's out there just somewhere in space. He's a God who wants to be personal to you. And He wants to know you. And He's gone so far as that He has a plan for our life. A plan that will be the best thing for us to follow. It's called God's will for us. And part of God's will for us is that what we've been talking about all this morning is that we come to know Him as we come to know Jesus Christ, His Son. And by having that relationship with His Son, our sins are forgiven so that we can have a life with God that will last forever. See, He wants to have that relationship with us. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to save us so that we can have that relationship. So when we look at this first verse of this psalm, it says, give thanks to Jehovah, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God who wants to have a relationship with you. Give thanks to the God who wants to love you, who does love you, and wants you to love Him. Give thanks to the God that cared so much for you that He provided a way for you to have that relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. So what the psalmist is saying here is give thanks to the God who is a personal God, who wants to have a relationship with you. Not a God that is far off, that we can't talk to, that we can't know anything about, because God has shown us so much of Himself in His Word. And so, first of all, we can be thankful today because we have a God who loves us. A God who wants to have that relationship with us. A God who cares for us. Just like He cared for the children of Israel and He wanted to get them out of slavery, out of Egypt, and He did deliver them. He wants to get us out of the slavery of sin. And so He sent Jesus Christ because He wants to have that relationship with us. And so the first word is Jehovah. Give thanks to Jehovah, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Now we talked last week about loving kindness, what that is, and that it is everlasting, will never end. Will never end. Have you ever had someone who's kind to you 1 week and then the next week they don't seem to know you? Have you ever had you met someone like that? No, it's not God. That's not our God. He loves me today and He will love me the day I die. And He will love me for all eternity. Because His loving kindness is everlasting. The second verse here, and again, before when you read this, you just think, oh, He's just throwing different names in there for the word God. But the second verse, He says, give thanks to the God of gods for His loving kindness is everlasting. Okay, this word for God is when you see the word God in the Old Testament, when you read that word God, the name is Elohim. It's Elohim. And we see that name come out in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That God is Elohim. Is Elohim. That means He is the pre-existing God. He is the He is always in the beginning. There was God. Not in the beginning of God, but in the beginning of our time, of the world, before it was ever created or ever came into being, there was God. He was there. God is ever existent. You know, He always has been and He always will be. And I made the statement before, I'll make it again. Don't ask me to explain that. He just is. He just is. He always He always has been, and he always will be. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. So we see that from the name Elohim, we get that he is eternal. And also from the word Elohim, we get the concept that he is the creator of the world. Now, you know, that's something to be thankful for. I have just been marveling this past week about the colors. How many love the colors? Isn't it just gorgeous? You know, it's not so gorgeous on my lawn, but it's gorgeous in the tree. And actually, you know, one morning I said, Melissa, you've got to look at the neighbor's lawn, because you look across the street and they had this humongous maple tree in there. And their lawn was literally a sea of gold and yellow and orange. Just a sea. And it was their lawn, so I could really admire it. And you know, from our house, it's just, you couldn't see any green. It was just a backyard with all this beautiful leaves in it. And I just think, what a beautiful time of year it is. Yes, it's getting colder. Yes, it's raining, which is something to be thankful for. But the beauty of fall is just spectacular. I mean, I don't know if it's better this year than it has been, but I just love this creation, this earth. I did a lot of fishing this year down in the Snake River, down in that canyon, and you know, and it's bleak down there. And you look at the hills and there's not much there to look at, and yet there is a majestic beauty in those great, big, massive hills. And this river going through it, and the green along the edge of the river, because that's where the water is. And I look at that and I think, this is beautiful. This is really beautiful. Then you come to the rolling hills of the Palouse. You know, this is one of the most photographed areas in the world. Not just in Washington. And people come from all over the world to take pictures of the Palouse. Now, you know, I've been here for 16 years, and I've been trying to get my brother and sister-in-law to come visit us. They live in Oregon. You know, Oregon is so far away. You know? Well, lo and behold, my brother makes an announcement. We're going to come see you next year. Really? Now, you've not seen this brother. You've not seen this brother. You've seen my other brother, the one who shouldn't be here because he should be preaching somewhere. But you've seen him, but you've not seen this brother. And it's kind of like, well, great, you know, and he goes, yeah, my wife is taking a photography class in the Blues Hills, you know, and I'm just like, well, hey, you're coming, and anyway, and he said he's looking forward to pike minnow fishing with me, you know, boy, that's gonna be exciting, but, it's beautiful, in the spring when you have the patchwork green, isn't that beautiful? And then now you have some work fields, some stubble fields, some fields that are turning green, so you have another thing. And then it's just simply, nothing is flat or straight in the Palouse. Nothing. You know, it kind of drives me nuts, because I grew up in Willamette Valley. A nice, long, flat valley that runs north-south. That has hills on one side, and hills on the other side, and a river in the middle. See, that's where I grew up, and so I love that. You know, you get on I-5, you set your cruise control, and you go to sleep. Because it's just straight. You come here, and I remember someone referring to some straight on a road, and I said, what straight? You know, and it's kind of, it's like a quarter mile long. And they refer to that as the long straight. You know, it's like, are you kidding? I can't even get up to, I can't get up to speed on that. You know, but it's just kind of a different perception. But it's beautiful. Then you've got the mountains, which are beautiful. And you've got we have a beautiful creation that we live in. And Elohim created it. He is the God of creation. And of course, his crowning jewel of creation is us. It's man. In Genesis chapter 1, again, and Elohim is used a lot in that, but in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, this is what we read about creation. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, we look at this, and we see that man is created in the image of Elohim, of God. But we pick up something, and I know that you guys picked it up and you thought about it. Who's God talking to here? He says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Well, we just said that God was in the beginning, and we believe there's only one God. Who's he talking to in this passage of Scripture? Well, Elohim really also refers to God as a plural, and that's where we get our concept of Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yes, God the Son was not born at Christmas time. That's when he came to earth. He is pre-existent with God. If we go to John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we have this thing again. We have the Word, which is referring to Jesus Christ, and we have God, referring to Elohim, or God the Father, and we see that they both existed together as one God. So we believe in the triune God. When I baptized the ladies, it was in the name of the Father, and then the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that concept is in the name Elohim. And so when we look at this verse, go back to verse 2 of Psalm 136. It says, and let me read it with the name. Give thanks to Elohim of gods. I mean, he's just, there is, he is the pre-existent, the creator, the one who has always existed, always will exist. And he is the creator of this world, and he is the creator of us. Again, at First Baptist Church, we firmly believe that God created, and he made us in his image, that we did not come out of the mud or out of the goo, or, we're not goo people. We're created in the image, in the likeness of God, of Elohim. The always existing, the creating, the God who has that kind of power. And remember, how did he, just a little test, how did he create? How did he create? You know, I mean, I want to buy some woodworking tools because I want to create a cabinet. Probably will never happen, but that's what I would like to do. How did God create? He spoke. He spoke the word. And it happened. He said, let there be light. And there was light. That's how powerful God is. He started with nothing and created us. Now, when it came to man, he did breathe the breath of life into us. And we see that in chapter 2 of Genesis. But so here the author of this psalm is saying, I give thanks to God, the creator, for what he has created. And that is everything that we see in this world, and that is also us. And then we have one more name that he uses in here. In verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Okay, the last word here. Now, if you look in your Bibles, look closely. It is a capital L, small O-R-D. I'm hoping our program, now you have to remember this program is a translation. Someone typed that all into this computer program. But it's the small. So whenever you see the large capital L-O-R-D, all capitals, we're talking about Jehovah or Yahweh, and it's about 7,000 times in the Old Testament. When we see capital L-O-R-D, we're still talking about God, but it's in a different sense. If we go to the Hebrew, that name means that he is sovereign, that he is master, that he is in control. And so what we see in this particular psalm, the psalmist is saying, and the name for that is Adonai. Adonai. Now, if you listen to A.D. Grant, you've heard that name before, because she has a song with the names, and Adonai is in it. But Adonai means the sovereign God. My God reigns. You get that, that song was going through my head. Our God reigns. Well, that is the sovereign God. That is Adonai. And so when you see that in your Bible, you know the difference between the Lord, who is a relational God, Yahweh or Jehovah, and the Lord who is the sovereign God, Adonai. And I guarantee you, if you remember that, if you write it down, it's in your notes there. If you take that and realize, when you read your Bible, Scripture will pop out at you because you will understand. It will make it so much more powerful. When David is saying, you know, I yield to the Lord. In other words, I give into him. He is my master. He is the sovereign Lord. He is the ruler of earth. And I give myself to him. Now we see this in Genesis 18:3. And this is when the three strangers come and appear to Abraham. One of them is, this is what most people believe, two of them were angels and one was actually Jesus Christ or the Lord. And he uses the word Adonai here. So he says, and again this is referring to Abraham, he says, and he said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Now, you have to see that in the connection that he's using it. He's saying, master, don't pass me, your servant, by. So Abraham is making a statement here that even though I'm Abraham, you are master, I am servant. Psalm 8, verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, O Adonai, our Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendors above the heavens. But using this again, O Lord, O Master, O Sovereign God, you are my God. You are my Master. I yield to you. Psalm 97:5, the mountains melted like wax at the appearance of the Lord. Now that's the other Lord, that's the Jehovah. And at the presence of the Lord, Adonai, of the whole earth. So it means, again, the God of the earth, the God who is in charge of all things. That's Adonai. Again, Scripture just means more when you know more. So I really encourage you to get into Bible studies. And you need to do that. This is not a commercial for a Bible study. Because, but in a way, it is. We will be so much more thankful when we know who God is and what God is doing. And in our lives and what he has done. Psalm 147:5 says, great is our Lord, Adonai, and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Again, all these things teach us about God. And the psalmist is thankful that he has this Lord, this Adonai, who is his master. Because really you say, well, how can you be thankful for a master? Well, when you put his loving kindness is everlasting, that's how you can be thankful for a master. We have the God, the sovereign God of this world, and he is in control. And when we yield to him in our lives, he can do great things in our lives. and we will understand the power of God. And I cannot possibly do this the way Tony Evans does it, the way he speaks. I can't do it. You know, I mean, the guys who've been through that class, you know that I can't say things the way he says it. You know, but he ties these three names together, Elohim, Jehovah, and Adonai, and into a sentence that makes so much sense and encourages me to be, you know, let God be my master, and then I will know the relational God and see the power of the Creator God in my life. But one of the things he says, people want the power, but they don't want the relationship, and they don't want the master. But you can't have the power unless you have the relationship through the master. You know, and it's just, but again, I can't say it, and there's a few things I wouldn't want to say it the way he says it. But, you know, when I look at this psalm, it's saying, give God, give thanks to God for who He is. His creator. He is the sustainer. He is the ruler of the earth. He is the relational God. We need to give Him thanks. Now notice the writer here is not saying, I'm giving Him thanks because I got a new camel this week. No, he is thanking God for who He is. And do we do that? Do we do that? Do we stop and thank God for who He is? And again, when we look at the different names of God, we get these different facets of God. Do we stop and be thankful just for our God? And that He is our God. That is what the psalmist is doing here. He's giving thanks to the Lord, to our God. He's giving thanks to Jehovah, to Elohim, to Adonai, for who He is and how He relates to us. Let's pray. Father, even using the different names for You in Your word, we know that we're just scratching the surface of who You are. But Father, thank You. Thank You that You desire to have a relationship with us, Your people. And that You show Yourself, You reveal Yourself to us, Your people. Father, thank You that You created us. You got the whole thing going, Lord. You started it, You created this world, and then You created us to live in this world. And Father, we thank You that You are the ruler. You reign. Lord, we look around us and we see so much chaos. And for a time being, yes, we understand that Satan is loose and causing havoc on our earth. But Lord, ultimately, You reign. And You will set things right. Again, thank You for that. Father, thank You for who You are. Lord, as we continue on in this season of Thanksgiving, Father, always help us to remember who You are and to give You thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name.